persecuted for, like, your stand as a Christian. It could also be, you know, sometimes, you know, trials and tribulations that life just brings, outside of the fact that we're Christians. You know, life throws us curveballs, and we have to kind of, like, go through them. So I guess suffering can be, you can suffer as a Christian, you can suffer as, you know, a human being living on earth, going through the motions of life.
Yeah, thank you. How about you, Okwe?
I think, in addition to what they said, I believe that suffering is anything that comes at you for believing in God. So, like, even if it's from, like, people you love, like, influenced by people, by your situation, by things that happen to you because you choose God. Because that's what happened to Jesus when he walked the earth. Even the people of Galilee did not believe that. Nazareth. Anyway, did not believe that. What can I hear myself? Okay. He was God. And sometimes they asked him questions just because they wanted to persecute him, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They asked him so that he can say, oh, he blasphemed against the religious law. So, like, anything that comes at you for believing Jesus is suffering. Like, anything, yeah, trials and afflictions and all that. That's what I mean, suffering is.
Are you mad?
Yeah, I agree with all of them. And I think that, like Jesus suffered through everything that we suffer, like all the sickness, like all the consequences of sin, like he felt it. And like I kind of what Joel was saying, like I love how like Paul says, like I make it my goal like to know him even in the fellowship of his suffering. So like even as we, it's not even something that we're striving against him or anything, like it's like we're going with him as he suffers and we get to know him in his suffering.
All right, thank you. So, I mean, I guess some of you, well, no one really touched on, so is suffering different from temptation?
I think it can be. It doesn't necessarily mean that every time, like, you know, suffering and temptation are different, but I think, like, when you're being tempted, it could be, that could be your time of suffering in that moment of temptation, because I'm not sure exactly why, you know, we're tempted, but we go through these things and God uses the test to bring out the best in us, even though in that moment we see it as suffering, but God is trying to, you know, get something out of us through that time. So it can be both, and it also can be, you know, different.
Okay. Okay, look like you wanted to say something.
I don't know if I... Okay, for me, like, temptations, like... Well, I guess can be in some way suffering because is you having to... rise above your sinful nature. Like the Bible says, there is a struggle between like choosing a spirit and going in accordance to the flesh. But because Jesus died for us, we don't have to do as our bodies want us to do. We can choose to follow the spirit, and that's where freedom comes in. Knowing what you want and knowing what is good, what should be done, and choosing to do that regardless of how you feel. So I guess in that way, it's suffering.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. I personally think suffering is, I don't want to say anything, but suffering can be anything that reveals the humanity in us. And I see that in sense of even sickness. Sickness reveals that this flesh is weak, that things can harm this flesh. Persecution reveals that people are angry, and humans have a natural inclination to be angry and to persecute people. And so suffering is just like the reality that we're human, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and now we have to bear the, I don't want to say the curse. The curse sounds really intense, but like bear the consequences of being human. And even Jesus, I think that also explains why Jesus also suffered, is because he was human and God at the same time, and he had to be subjected to all the consequences of what being human meant, what being damned meant. And so, yeah, I think that's my own definition of suffering, so it's not just like an interview. Anyway, what does it mean to love God through suffering? What does that look like? It can be a general thing or a personal thing, but what would it look like for you to love God? Maddie seems excited for it, so.
Well, one thing that I was thinking, like even this morning, thinking about this, is just how much it means to the Lord that even though we're like in so much suffering and we're in so much pain and it's like, Lord, why is this happening to me? Like, every time we choose to look at him and choose to love him, even in the middle of suffering, that moves his heart so much. And, like, I think that I was thinking about this. 1 Peter 1, it says, talking about suffering, says, you rejoice in this, though now for a short time you've had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Says you love him, though you have not seen him. And it's just like even in the life of Jesus, even as he suffered, like he consistently went back to the Father. He said, not my will, but your will. And I think that suffering is like really anything that can be used to refine our faith and refine our love. Like love that isn't tested, like isn't really true love. And so I think there's so much value in the courageous tenacity that love says, I will hold on to you no matter what, and I will, no matter what I go through, I will continue to love you, I'll continue to look at you, I'll continue to say, Jesus, you're worthy.
Mm-hmm. Just to add to what she said, in that sense, when you're going through trials, when you're suffering, you know, you're so much in pain. But if you love God through that, it shows that you have complete faith in God. It shows that you believe his purpose for you. You believe his word for you. And it's like, you know, telling your father, even on earth, that God, my father, no matter what goes on, I'm still going to be for you. I'm still going to love you, you know. So I think that's a way of assuring God that you are still his child. You are still, you know, in his, you are still in his temple. So, it's hard, but it's something that, you know, brings not just joy to your life, you know, because when you are joyful in Christ, when you are happy going through the suffering, going through the pain, you yourself start believing, you start growing in who you are in Christ, I think. You start growing in who your faith, you start growing in your character, and, you know, even after a while, you see, like, it doesn't even faze you anymore because now God has helped you to kind of not see the pain but see the joy that comes after the pain, mm-hmm. I think.
In addition to what she said, Romans 12:12 says that rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. So God has already told us how to live, like, how to love him through suffering. Like, rejoice. Like, it's his commandment that we rejoice. We be happy through whatever we're going through. And even Paul said in Romans, I don't remember the chapter or verse, it was like suffering, like trouble helps your character building and will even give you more confident hope in Christ that, you know, whatever I go through, the situation doesn't define me, seeing through whatever persecution in any form, trials and tribulation, loving God through it is obeying him and rejoicing in that and keep on praying. Even times where you don't feel like he's there, like, your God, where are you? And he's like, no, like, no reply, nothing. Is like believing that, you know, even if you can't hear something back, knowing that God is there anyway, like believing what he said, that he is good regardless of how we feel. So, like, just pushing through that, like, knowing that, and, like, even restating it, claiming it for yourself. Like, for me, it's loving God because you're like, love is a doing word. Like, he's not passive. So, yeah.
I think everyone has pretty much said what I'm about to say, but I guess I'm just going to say it anyway. I think loving God through the process of suffering, I think it's kind of that's what we're expected to do as children of God. But I think verse 19 of Romans 8 kind of explains it. I'm gonna read 18 and 19 together, and I'm gonna get to my point from there. So verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." Compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. I think from verse 18, it tells us that there is a glory to be expected. And verse 19 kind of tells us that the world is waiting for that glory to happen. So it's kind of like a motivation in the time of suffering that even though you're going through a hard time right now, even though you're going through testing, even though there's temptation, once you're able to trust God in the process, pull through, there is a glory to be expected. And there's a glory that the world is waiting. So suffering doesn't necessarily have to be something that we see as negative, or even though in the time that we're suffering, it does look like, you know, God has forsaken us. But if we pull through, if we love God through that process, if we embrace God's love and promise for us, definitely we're going to come out victorious, and that glory that the world is awaiting will be revealed.
Thank you. I think this is a very interesting analogy that I heard once with how we as Christians handle God in suffering. And it was basically, most people, when they're suffering, they see God as this helicopter. They're just going to yell, "Ah, help!" And God's just going to fly down and pick you up out of the suffering and take you to the promised land. But that really isn't it. And a way that I think, if we think about this, will help us love God more is seeing God more like an anchor in suffering. Seeing him as someone that is holding you, even though life is crazy. Everything is just moving like it's the most insane your life has ever been, most disturbed, just most painful. Just seeing God as someone that's holding on to you as strongly as he can. And if someone or something is holding on to you as much as it can, of course you're going to love that thing, because that's the thing that's keeping you stable. That's the thing that's holding you down. And so recognizing God in the midst of it as the person that is keeping you strong and keeping you going is just a way to, I think, help you love God more, even through your suffering, because you know that he's there holding on to you regardless of what's going to happen. He's very present in our time of need. So, yeah. All right. So, in the verse, it said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time and not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us." So what is this future glory that's supposed to be revealed in us?
Well, I think that depends on what you're going through sometimes. So I look at it in two different ways. So it can be like a physical glory, it can be like a spiritual glory. And spiritual glory, I mean in terms of, like, you know, heaven and going and seeing God in the end. Or it could be, you know, something that needs to happen in your life right now, that everybody needs to see the glory of God. So, and an example of someone in the Bible would be Joseph. Remember when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he went through temptation and he was put in prison, and you know, he suffered so much in prison, but the glory that God wanted to show in his life was that he was going to place him in a position where he would help everybody, you know, where he would help his family. But he had to go through that time of suffering, he had to go through that time of, you know, pain to be able to get there. So I feel like sometimes when we go through certain things in our lives, when we go through disappointments, when we go through pain, when we don't get exactly what God, maybe there was a vision that God has given you, there was a an achievement that you want, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, God is silent. It just means that the glory that God wants to give you or where he wants to put you, he needs to mold you in such a way that you will be able to receive it and others can benefit from it as well. So I see that as the physical part and also the spiritual part, in the sense that no matter what we go through on earth here, we have a greater, as Christian, we have the greater blessing of becoming children of God, of, you know, seeing Jesus at the end, you know. So that to me is like the greatest reward, you know, the greatest glory of God.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, in addition to that, we see in the life of Paul, like how, like through the New Testament, especially from Acts, you see how, like, people, like they always wanted to say he blasphemed. There were times he appeared in court, and, you know, the Holy Spirit talked through him to free him. Like, every time he was liberated, every time the glory of God came through. I mean, still, like, the way Paul says, like, I'm a slave for God. Like, his purpose, you mentioned, is to bring the good news to people who have never heard it before, all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum, something like that. Anyway, for a far place, like, to bring the good news to people. And we saw that he pursued that through all of the craziness, through all the accusations, and we see, and we get to enjoy that now because we can look back into his life and gain from it. And that is, like, you know, letting us see the glory of God in Paul's life. So that is one example that I really, really like in the Bible.
I was going to say, I think that, like, yes, like, we know that there's this great glory coming. It's like, the same, like, we know, but we don't yet know because we haven't seen his face yet. Like, we've seen him in scripture, like, we've seen him in encounters with him. But, like, there's, it's like that thing where no mind has seen, no ear has heard, but God has prepared for those who love him. And, like, just how, yes, like, there's so much glory that the Lord will lead us into here on this earth, like, if we follow him, if we obey him. And then there's also just, like, what all of creation is groaning to get into, like, the glorious freedom of God's children that we've yet to see. And I was thinking about Song of Solomon and, I think it's 8:5. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on the one she loves? And just thinking about, like, that moment when we finally do see his face, like, even in the middle of all the suffering, or the suffering that was past, and being able to lean on him there, like, remember all the times that we leaned on him while here on earth, and then leaning on him in heaven, like, just how beautiful that's going to be, like, the wild glory and the taste and the glimpse of it that we see here, like, we have no idea.
I think I agree with what everyone has said. Glory can be, you know, it can be physical, and I also think it can be spiritual. But one thing about spiritual things is it happens when people don't see it, but there is a manifestation in the physical that people can see. So I think it's still one and the same. It might be in everyday, you know, life that God wants to reveal something to people about you. It might be in your trial, it might be in your tribulation, it might be, you know, in academics, financial needs, and things like that. It might also be in, you know, spiritual gifts that God wants to, you know, use in your life to touch other people's lives. So it can be both ways. But I think as Christians, we should not be so much concerned about, oh, what is it going to be? What is it going to be? I think just in the process of trusting God and believing that there's something that he wants to do kind of gives him the leeway to do whatever he wants to do, because we don't want to, like, place God in a box and say, oh, God, this one thing I want you to fix, and then we have so much good expectations, and when he doesn't do it, it's like, oh, where's the glory and all that. So trusting God in the whole process and believing that, you know, whatever it is that wants to do, that he's going to do it in our lives.
Okay. If I say something, I just want to ask the next question, because I think kind of leads into this one. Is the glory to be revealed limited to a certain time frame? So Like, does it have to be on earth, in heaven? Like, what do you guys think? Joel, you can, don't feel free.
I don't think it's time bound. I kind of like the way it's said there, because it's not very specific. So we can take it as, oh, that passage talking about heaven and when we like see God finally, that glory. We can also take it as, you know, what God wants to do on earth here. I don't think it's time bound. God moves in diverse ways, and his own timeline is quite different from ours. So whatever, like, he wants to do when he wants to do it, like, he's going to do it.
Yeah. Like what Maddie said, we already see glimpses of his glory, but the glory that is to be revealed to us later is, like, all of his glory, like, where he shows all of who he is. That's after this life, after we've, you know, gone through the life test, trial, like, you know, after we've gone through all of that, we get to see all of his glory. But we already see glimpses of his glory, like him giving us the Holy Spirit to be with us. Like he says here, like, we already have the foretaste, if I can find it, the foretaste in Romans 8:23, and all we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will reveal us our full right as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. So we already have glimpses, we already have glimpses of this, like, you know, a taste. We already have a taste of the Holy Spirit. And we have that while we wait for all of his glory to be really revealed in us later. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's always, like, the, like, oh, man, I can't believe it's not time yet. Like, Lord, haven't we waited long enough? Like, isn't it time yet? But I think it's so sweet to remember that he's kind of in the same boat. Like, Jesus is waiting for the Father to give the okay for him to come and get his bride. And so it's like, yeah, it's like we're groaning, and it's hard to remember sometimes that the Holy Spirit is groaning alongside us and with us, and he's not ever groaning against us, you know? Like, we're all groaning together with him. And so I think as we wait, there's, yeah, like what she said, there's so much hope because he's waiting to.
Okay. All right. So, well, okay. So, I mean, we're all human beings here. Like, there's no angel in the room, right? Okay. I mean, in case you're an angel, just, like, signify so we can all come to you for prayers. Anyway, and I know, like, when we're talking like this, it's very easy to, like, gloss over the actual pain. Because, again, we're humans. Like, it's not like you become Christian so you're immune to pain. Like, oh, you don't have a job, but you're fine. Like, everything's like, the pain is real. And there are people that, like, even though they believe in God and like, they trust in God, the suffering for them is meaningless. It's like, why am I going through this after this? After, like, you have people that they'll lose, like, 2 family members in the span of 2 weeks. And, like, it's just as if it gets worse. Like, they haven't even, like, healed from one thing, and they're going into the next thing. And before they heal from that thing, something else is happening to them. And it's just, like, this, the whole span of their lives is just meant to be full of suffering and pain. And, like, I know people, like, even on, everyone in church here, hopefully, has experienced some kind of suffering. And if you've not, that's good. Praise God for your life. But at the same time, like, it's very easy to just say, oh, there's the glory is going to be manifested later, or when we all get to heaven, we're all going to be rejoicing with God and blah, blah, blah. But, like, right now, while you're going through that pain, right now, while something is making me cry every night, how do we stay hopeful? Because it's all well and good. Glory is going to be revealed when we all ascend into heaven and everything is going to be fun. We're all going to be dancing with God on the streets of gold and all of that. But now, on earth, while we're here, right now, in church, how do you stay hopeful? How do you stay alive, I guess. Yeah. I guess we all need a minute.
Just remembering that life is a test and it's temporary, so like this is not just the end of it. Like, when I mean, I know it's easier, like what you said, it's easier said than done, but I don't know, like, you just have to soak yourself in the word, like, you know, be there. If you have to wrestle with God, like, share those your problems, share your pain, like, in that way God will reveal to you. Like, you have to, even David lamented, and he was a man after God's heart. Like, how? There were times they would go fight with God. Even Jacob wrestled with God. You know, Abraham, they had the back and forth, and these people were the friends of God. So, like, you know, in that, like, just being in the all that trouble, share with God. Like, say it, name it. And remember that it's a temporary place. Like, even if all these things are happening, even if your family members are just gone, like, some people lose their family members in a day, and they're the only ones left, and they're like, why am I even here? Like, all people I love are gone. Like, just remembering that they're in a better place now. It's temporary. This is not just the end of it. You get to your end, and you get to meet them. Hopefully, they make it. At the other part, like, at the bottom of, I mean, in paradise, like, you get to meet them in a later life. So knowing that, and constantly, like, asking the Holy Spirit to remind you of that will help through suffering and everything.
I would say that, how do you stay hopeful in time of suffering? To add to what Alpea said here, it's more of knowing, like, when you know the vision of God for your life. And why do I say that, in the sense that when you know that, okay, the plans of God are of good and not of evil, in the sense that as I'm suffering right now, it's just for a moment, it's just for a time, that God's plan in my life would be fulfilled. I think that keeps the hope in your life. So, even the Bible doesn't say we will not suffer. It doesn't say that as a Christian you will never suffer, you will never go through anything. It doesn't say that. But the Bible gives us hope. It gives us the assurance that even when you go through suffering, this is just for a temporal time. It's just for a moment, just for a season, and everything will be fine again. Jesus went through suffering because he had to go to the cross. He saw the vision of God. So he knew that he had to go to the cross so that way we can all be saved. So he knew that his suffering was just for a season, for just a time, right? It was just a couple of, you know, depending on your suffering, it was just for a moment. So by having that vision and having that understanding, he had hope that, you know, when everything is over, it will be for the glory of God. It will be for the glory that God has destined for him. So in Romans 9:17, it says that, for this reason I raised you up, so that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So we have to remember that for everything we go through in life, it's for the glory of God. It's not for us. It's not for our victory. It's not for our, to be put on high. It's for God to be glorified. It's for God to be praised. You know, whatever good happens, it's so that everybody can praise God in your life. It's so that everybody can know that the power of God still exists. So that's why we have to go through something. That's why sometimes it is hard, it is painful, but everybody sees it. So that when the time comes and God raises you up or God lifts you up, then everybody will know that this is from God. It's not from you, it's not from your friend, it's only from God. And that's the only way that we can all know the power of God.
I agree with you. Psalm 87, the last verse, says, my whole source of joy is in you. And another translation is, all my fountains are in you. And I think that, like, the secret, one of the secrets, there's really a bunch of them, is just knowing and choosing where your source comes from. Like, am I alive for all these things that I have, or am I alive to know God? Because whenever we're alive to know God, like, he's never taken away from us. Like, he's right there. And, like, it says in the verse, like, there's glory. We're living in glorious freedom as God's children. And just because there's suffering going on, like, that doesn't cancel or negate the life that the Lord has for us in the moment, like, with him, like, in the place of prayer, like, the calling that he has for us in prayer, the calling that he has for us, like, to continue to open up and share with other people so that they can find him, too. And there's such a, like, a beautiful, it's like a whole different world, you know, like, this is almost like the suffering, like, yes, it's relevant, and it hurts, and it's painful, but it's, like, there's a separation in a way of, like, that I know that this cannot actually touch my the life that I have in the Lord and the destiny that I have. Like, I can continue to walk out in my destiny because he continues no matter what happens. Like, he keeps going on for all of eternity, and I can follow him into that.
Also, I feel like Jesus already told us, like, you accepting me, you following me, you will drink from my bitter cup. Like, in fact, you will. Like, so we already know that. When you look at people's life, like, oh, yeah, your bitter cup is a little bit more bitter than mine. But, like what you said, like, when people lose their families in, like, one day, it's just like, oh, my God, like, how? But just remembering that, what Annie said, like, it's you partaking in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Like, you're drinking from his cup, because through that, salvation was birthed. And through that, it would reveal God's glory in us. So, like, remembering that even through all the tribulation.
Okay, Joel, do you have something to say?
I think Romans 8:35 says, for who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So I think that love of God is always there. And I think this ties into what Annie said. You know, knowing what God is saying about you, even though you're going through what you're going through right now, like, knowing that he still loves you through it all, like, he still loves you in time of pain, I think that kind of keeps us, you know, motivated and not, like, downtrodden and, like, you know, depressed about the fact that we're going through what we're going through right now. Knowing that despite the fact that these things are happening, God still loves us and he has a plan for our life, and he's going to reveal that plan even through the pain and the suffering that we're going through.
Okay. All right. So one of our Bible verses is Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Actually, before I ask this question, this was something interesting that I read today where, and I think it kind of ties the two verses with the first one, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. And then we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And so what the person said was that they believe that it's impossible. Well, I guess I should have asked this question earlier now. But so, like, only one person can answer, so that it's not like everybody. But they were like, they believe that suffering doesn't come from God. And I think I skipped a question, actually. So, like, two people can answer it, where it's like, can suffering come from God? And two, is suffering necessary to learn lessons? Let's all sit in that for a minute. Because the person went on about how, like, it's impossible for God to afflict someone with cancer, or, like, why would God, whose thoughts towards us are good, why would he want for you to be in pain, or why would he want for you to cry at night? And so do you guys agree with like saying that suffering can't come from God? And then are there lessons necessary to be learned? Why is everyone smiling?
I think
okay.
I think the story of Job kind of like gives us a very good overview of that, because in that story we can see that God did not inflict the pain. God let the devil torment Job. So I think God can allow situations to happen in our life to teach us some things, or to teach other people, because sometimes we don't go through these things just for ourselves. Someone there is sitting down and looking at this, and God wants to use that situation as a story for other people to learn about him. So I think God sometimes allows suffering.
Well, just to add to what Joel just said, you have to remember God is not an evil God. He's not the God that causes pain. So we have to know that since Adam and Eve sinned and they were sent out of the garden, we have inherited, in a way, that suffering that comes with sin. So everything we go through is just, that's why he says it's just for the flesh. So part of our journey, or part of Jesus' journey, was to come and help us to realize that we can overcome whatever we go through. So in terms of like, if God causes pain, God does not cause pain. As you know, as Job said, God did not inflict pain on Job. It was just a part of, you know, the enemy trying to, you know, find ways for us to question who God is, to question the goodness of God in a way, in a sense. So remember, when you're going through pain, the enemy finds a way to tempt you. You know, he brings thought into your mind. He finds, you know, there's when ideas that are not of God will start coming in. So for us, yes, it's a way for us to grow in Christ. It's a way for us to learn how, you know, to know and believe in God more. At the same time, it's also a way for us to remember that this world, the enemy is still in this world, and this world is just a temporary time for our lives. So,
thank you.
Also remembering that God has the power. Like if you believe that God's hand is on your life, God has the power to use pain for your good, for His glory. So just remember that for what you said about the second question.
Okay.
Yeah. Just remembering that God has a way of using whatever pain that we are exposed to, whatever suffering, whatever trial, tribulations, for His own good. For your good, rather. Jesus said that, don't be afraid, I have overcome the world. He also says in Matthew 12:21 that His name is the hope of the world. So just remembering that through all of that, like, God can take that situation and turn it to your success story, your own memory stone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking about good, so all things work together for good. And for those, well, we'll come to that. But all things work together for good. So what is the good, Maddie? Let's give Maddie a second.
I think, honestly, I think the good is, like, whatever God has ultimately planned for our lives. And that's so hard to even imagine. But I think it's, like, the fulfillment of the promises of God. Like, all the things that He's fulfilled, the things that He's promised to fulfill, like, here on earth. Like, I guess for some people it might be, like, some people might be promised a family and they haven't seen it yet. There's like a lot of suffering and a lot of waiting. But then the Lord fulfills His promise, like He did for like Abraham in Genesis. And it was still a journey of like fulfilling the ultimate good of the glory of God, like on the earth for Israel, for the Gentiles. And then like ultimately the glory that Jesus receives, the inheritance that Jesus receives in heaven. And I think that like all of this goodness is just like swept up, and like we experience the goodness and the sweetness, but then in the end it's Jesus receiving the inheritance that he deserves.
I would use a physical example. So you know when a woman is in labor, so a woman can be in labor for hours or a day or two, but they're in so much pain. But when they come out of that labor and they give birth, they're going to have a baby, right? So I see, you know, our good in the sense that that's the baby. You know, when you get that baby, there's so much joy in your heart. You're happy. I mean, you know, you just love. So I feel like the suffering, which is the labor pain, is just a way for us to birth the good that God has given us, the good that God has ordained for our lives. So that's the way I would describe that. Whatever we go through is for our own good, in my own opinion.
I see good in that sense, as I think Mario said, there's like fulfillment of God's promise. I see it as like destiny in some way, because you know God sometimes lets us, you know, wander away from his plans, but somehow in some way he still uses that mistake for his glory. Like it all becomes part of this grand plan that he has for us. So I see that good as, you know, when we're suffering as Christians, you know, going through pain, when we're like not even so much in line with God's plan, he still finds a way to use that as like part of our story.
Okay. I really like Annie's example because, okay. Well, I have two questions. One is kind of like really dark. Okay. What are people that don't get the baby? Like, I mean, if you really think, like, using that analogy, like, you go through all the suffering, and then, again, like, it doesn't make sense at the end because maybe they don't get the baby or something. So, like, yeah, the baby, what if the baby dies? I'm so sorry.
But they do get the baby. Like, life is temporary. Like, even if it feels like, oh, like there's no end to this. Like, my life is just one trouble to another trouble. Like, they get the baby.
Like the baby is like heaven.
Heaven. Okay. Like, there's always a baby. That's my point.
All right. Thanks. Annie, thank you so much for that analogy. Also, with that analogy, again, this time the baby is alive. But... So now you have the baby, but is the suffering over? Because she has gone through the labor pains, now she has the baby. So just because all things have, quote-unquote, worked together for good, does the suffering end?
Babies are expensive, so probably not. Okay, so my
this
point,
analogy is...
My point was not that you look at the baby. My point was the fact that, yes... In life, you have to go through suffering. And there is always something good that comes out of it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the baby dies. It doesn't mean that you won't get it. As long as it says for those who, you know, who love the Lord, mm-hmm. right? So as long as you love the Lord, you know, it's already said that as long as you love the Lord, you will get a good thing at the end. So that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody suffers to expect that it will not be good. Nobody is suffering to say, okay, it will not work out for my good, right? So my thing is, as you know, as long as you know that there is a good coming out of it, then the suffering is worth the wait for the blessing.
Also, it says like it doesn't compare to all the suffering. So the good at the end is none compared to the suffering. And like, even if like to, I really like the baby analogy, so I'm just going to stick to that. like as your child grows, there's gonna be like trouble. Like maybe your child is like just annoying and probably hormones or whatever you want to blame. Like praying through that, and the child is like, okay, finally back on the right path. Like just giving that baby to God still. Like okay, this is good. I trust God to sustain it for me. So even no matter what, no matter what suffering, no matter what trial, tribulation, everything, trusting God with that baby he has given you, because you gave me this, you're going to have to take care of it for me. So, yeah.
I think, too, there's the reality that, like, there are some people, and there are some people in this room, too, I think, who, like, we give, the Lord moves us into giving and, like, allowing him to, like, give us suffering. But then, like, sometimes there are some people who are willing to go another step. Like, yes, like, the promise is fulfilled, like, in a layer or a level, but then he knows that there are some people who are willing to give a little bit more, and so he'll test that to refine that. And so I think that as much as we are willing to say, Jesus, like, yes, it hurts me, but I know that this is for your good, for my good, like, I'm willing to let you let me suffer a little bit more. Like, I think that the more we give, like, we don't always see the honor in suffering, but he sees it, and he knows how it makes him feel. He knows the reward that's coming to us individually. And so I think that, yes, it's hard to keep giving and keep saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Like, I'm willing to be broken. Like, you give and you take away. But in the end, like, it's beautiful. It means a lot to him to say yes, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. Andy, do you want to?
I will also say, just to add to what they've said, in the sense that when you go through suffering, as we said before, you learn. You now, especially when you see the benefit of what you've been going through, you know that God can do it now. So I feel like that's what God is trying to remind us in some ways, and, you know, depending on what we're going through, is that even if you go through one time and then you have to go through another, you already learned from the first time that, okay, God is going to be there for me. So it's like now you know and believe in God. So it's just like the disciples, they went through persecution and persecution and persecution. But you see, like, they never stopped believing in God. They never stopped having faith in God. So that is what sometimes, that is what suffering helps us to do, to keep having faith in God.
Yeah, and I mean, if Christianity is all about getting the good, then it's just, that's like treating God like a bank where you just go line up, okay, get your money and go. Like, I don't think that's all there is to being a child of God. There's more, there's beauty, like she said, there's beauty in the pain, even if, like, while you're in it, it's meaningless, hopeless, there is still something beautiful about, like, knowing that there's a God that's keeping you through all of that, and being willing to be broken, being willing to suffer and love God through it. So, yeah. So, Joel, the Bible verse says, to those, okay, I guess I should just read it again. I don't know why I'm trying to read a part of it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So what is the purpose there?
Purpose there, I think, means, it could mean plan, it could mean calling, it could mean a journey, because I feel like the Christianity, like being a Christian is, in itself, is a call to a journey through a life. You know, not just for a life not that doesn't just have like good as the end goal, but a life of suffering. So I think, you know, the purpose in that verse means, it could mean calling, call to a life of Christianity, call to that journey, you know, with God. It could also mean, you know, your destiny. So, yeah.
Okay, do you have anything to add? Do you have anything to add to what he said?
I feel like purpose is like, it's not even like maybe one thing that you do and then, ooh, that's it. Like, it's what he said, like a journey, like trusting God through the journey. Like, say you've been called to, I'm going to use Paul again. Paul, to him, his purpose of God for his life was to bring the good news to people like Gentiles that never heard it before, places that did not have, like, did not know Jesus. So through that, in fulfilling his purpose daily, like every day, to preach that good news, to get the good news to where it needs to go, it wasn't like a one day thing. It was like through the rest of his life till God called him home. So God's purpose is like what your life is for, like why are you here? Like that's God's purpose for your life. If your purpose is to, I don't know, teach, then you're going to teach till God calls you. And of course, through like, in that teaching, there are going to be trials and temptations and tribulations. But that's to grow you to do what God has called you to do, to give you like confident hope that is what I'm here for. I know that I know that I know. Not because somebody told me, not because my pastor said it in church, because I've experienced it for myself. You know, like even whatever happens, this is my path. Come up me. So, yeah.
You know that you know that you know. Amen. Okay, so my next question, before I ask it, I have like a pre-question, if you allow. Is it possible to not be called according to God's purpose? Like, do you think God creates, I don't know how to ask this question without like sounding accusatory, but okay, is it possible to not be called according to God's purpose? Like, do you think there are people in the world that are not called according to God's purpose? I feel like this is a hard question. Is it a hard question? Okay, it's fine. Okay, good.
I think that when the Bible talks about that, it talks about those people who have, you know, given their life to Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because everyone on earth, when you were made by God, mm-hmm. there is a purpose on your life, there's a calling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, it's kind of like you have a destiny, but you have to kind of like, you have to accept that purpose, you have to accept that calling. You do that when you give your life to Christ, mm-hmm. when you become a Christian. So I think when he's talking about for those people who are called, like those people who have accepted that calling upon their life, those people that have recognized that God has a purpose for them and have accepted that to be in communication, in fellowship with God through that process. That's what I mean.
Okay, so do, not like at you, but at everyone, do you then think that things don't work together? Like what happens to them? Like people that don't accept God, like do you think things don't work together for good for them? Like do they remain in their suffering?
Some people already know what their calling is. Maybe the talent that, you know, who we can mm-hmm. sing. But they know that, you know, when they do that, they feel like, so in living our lives, I feel like we reflect the glory of God. Like in just living, because, I mean, God is the God of mm-hmm. living. So in just living our lives, we reflect the glory of God and in like fulfilling our purpose and all that. So, God is the God that sends rain on good and bad. So even if someone is not under the umbrella of, I'm a Christian or whatever, you can see in their lives that sometimes you look at their art, for instance, and you're like, you see God in that. So God is the God that can use anybody. Like there's common grace. Like God can use anybody, even if he made all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people already know why they're on earth. But if you're not doing it for the glory of God, that's another question on its own. But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't know what you are here for if you're not under the umbrella of Christianity. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. I think I kind of understand what you're saying. Amen. Amen. Okay. Annie or Maddie, do either of you have anything to say? You don't have to.
One thing I was thinking about is like in Romans 11, where it talks about like how the Lord continued to call Israel and talks about his gifts and callings being irrevocable. So I think that there are like always going to be people who are called according to the purpose of God, but they choose for some reason to mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. surrender. And like things probably aren't going to work out as well for them because they True. Didn't surrender, like because they, but if, but it's like the grace of God that he continues to call, and there's like always an invitation, like if you come, like, and it's almost like a, not a bribe, but he always offers like the Same light too. And the beauty of a life with him. And so, and I think that the way that life happens for those who are choosing not to surrender, that's part of the wound. Like, oh man, like things aren't as well, but I look at this person who has surrendered, and yes, it's hard, yes, it's tough, but their life is beautiful.
Okay. All right. We're just going to go through the last questions pretty quickly. Thank you. So the first question I'm going to ask is, will all things work for your good if you acknowledge God's call? Or do you have to be actively walking in his purpose for all things to work together for your good? Do you guys understand? So, like, will all things work together for your good if you just acknowledge that God has a call? Like, God has called me to something, but you don't necessarily do something about it? Or do you have to be, like, actively walking in that call? Sorry, I'm trying to understand the question myself. Do you have to be actively walking in that, actively walking in the purpose to which God has called you for, like, for the whole, all things work together for your good to come into play?
I think it has to be both, in the sense that, yes, you act to acknowledge, you know, God's purpose for your life, and you also have to actively work, or at least start walking in it. Okay. Because if you don't put action, I feel like if you don't put action into anything, then you cannot see the reward that comes with it. So for everything to work out, you have to first acknowledge it. Because, I mean, if you don't believe in that, oh, God has a purpose for you, you can't start working in it, right? Because you can't ask God to give you direction. You can't ask God to help you lay a part. You can't even lay a foundation, I say it that way. So you have to first acknowledge it. You have to know that, okay, God has a purpose for me. And then you have to start working in it as well.
Okay. Do we all agree? Any subtractions or addition? Okay. Our final question. All right. Considering the current times, how would you explain suffering to, how do you explain suffering, especially to a young adult? What view should a young person have towards suffering? So that's two questions, actually. I'm sorry. But first of all, how would you explain suffering, especially to a young adult?
I think it's really hard, but I think a practical thing is just, like, be there for them and say, like, I don't understand this. I have no idea, but Jesus does, and I'm willing to ask him with you, and we're going to listen until we hear what he says. And because, like, with everybody, too, like, the Lord has something to say about their suffering. Like, since it's such an outlet for, like, knowing him, he's like, yes, like, I will, like, there's always the promise of his heart mm-hmm. there. Like, and so I think just being willing to seek the Lord and listen and then being able to share what we hear is, like, yeah. really practical.
I think it's very important to help people carry their burdens to Jesus. Because obviously, I think it's impossible, really. Well, let me not say impossible, because God can reveal to you why someone's going through something. But at the same time, I think it's beyond us, really, to truly understand, like, why someone is going through suffering, or to truly explain. But the important thing is, like, helping that person, in seeking God, seeking for God with that person, you'd be able to both understand. Because I think suffering looks different for everybody. I want to say that, but maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But understanding especially why you are going through that thing, and helping that person understand, is a way to kind of explain it to them. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay, any of where, Joel?
I feel, in addition to what you guys said, like, also encouraging people, like, study the Word of God, learn from the stories, like, see how God has promised something, and then it took for the Israelites, like, how long it took for them. Even if their disobedience was part of it, like, part of the reason why it took so long for God's promise to come through, you see where God has promised people in the Bible and how, you know, how they went through the period of lack or whatever you're going through, trouble, and how they got to where they were supposed to be. So even like studying the Word and getting to know who God is, like drawing close to God and having him draw close to you, you also understand. So praying for them, you know, and also sharing your own story, like in bad testimonies, some people are set free, they're encouraged by that. So yeah.
Okay. Joel or Annie?
I think that sometimes when we're going through things, like when life hits us with, like, you know, suffering, it's really hard, like, looking up to God and saying, oh, God, where are you in this kind of situation? Because, you know, it's almost like, oh, yeah, God, you forsake me, you left me, now I'm going through this. But I think one thing that we can do even through that time is understanding that even when we're going through what we're going through, God knows. And if he has plans for us that are good, definitely he has plans for us to get through what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, even though it's hard to, like, you know, love him in that moment, but just accepting the fact that he loves us even in the times when we don't love him as much.
Okay.
I agree with what everyone has said. You know, God has a plan for our lives, and his purpose will always be fulfilled in your life, no matter what you go through. So to young adults, I would say just, you know, keep trusting the Lord. You know, just keep trusting the Lord. And pray and, you know, talk to God. Because sometimes when we talk to God, God, you know, God finds a way to show us things. God finds a way to reveal his word to us. You know, even if it's just encouragement, even if it's just giving us comfort, you know, there's always a way God shows himself to us, even in times of trials, even in times of suffering. So I believe that just, you know, keep praying and keep believing in God, and also remembering to put the word, you know, use the word for your advantage. Use the word for your breakthrough. So, I mean, that's my own take on that.
Amen. Use the word for him.
I want to encourage everyone here today, like, especially young adults, since this question is towards them, like, in your frustration, in your suffering, make sure you share that with God. Like, express yourself. Tell him about it. Tell him about your pain. Like, I feel like, do we call it ranting? Rant to God. Like, say what you have to say. Say how you feel. Because those things are valid. And that's how we get to really pour out our hearts to God. Like, if you're struggling in your faith, say it. If you're frustrated. Like, even Jesus said, why is God forsaken him? Even Jesus wanted the cup to pass over him. Like, share it. David wrestled the time that, you know, oh, why are you letting all these things happen to me? Share with God, like, everything you're going through. You don't have to bottle it up. You don't have to, you know, try to be something that you're not. If you're struggling with anything, genuinely put it at God's feet. Say it. Speak to it. Share with God. Share your frustration. And I feel like, at least for me, strength comes from that. Like, when I'm going through anything, like, I don't hide myself from God, as I try not to do that, because I know that I've shared my life with God, like, shared my frustration with God, and he has come through for me like that. So whatever you're going through, just say how you feel, okay? Be open. God knows everything anyway, so might as well share it like you would share it to your friend or someone you confide in.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being on the panel. All right. Wait, don't go. Wait.
All right, so we are going to open the floor. That's right. Yeah, open the floor to the congregation. If you guys have any questions or contributions. Okay. Anyone? Okay. Please say your name before you ask your question.
My name is Delight, and it's not a question. I think it's kind of a contribution. Because when you were saying about the suffering, I was thinking of like life as a classroom where you have learning materials, you have the textbook, and you have the teacher. And at the end of the class, you have to pass the exam. You have to learn something. Because I feel like God gives us every suffering to learn something from it. I know like in class when you don't learn, you have to like repeat the class till you learn what you're supposed to learn. So I was feeling like, because sometimes it happens to me. Sometimes I'm like in situations where I feel like God is telling me, you need to know this. And I'm like, I gloss over it. But like he continues telling me over and over and I have to like listen and learn. And when I learn, those kind of, that thing kind of passes. Not like it ends completely, but it kind of, I pass from that stage and go to the next class. You kind of pass the class and you go to the next level. So I feel like that's one of how God teaches us to learn stuff.
Thank you, Delight. Any other person? Kamal. Oh, was there someone else? Sorry.
You know that question that lots of people ask, especially if they don't believe in God, like, why would a good God allow suffering? How would you try to say that to a non-believer or try to, like, assure them that God does love them and he's also all-powerful?
Does anyone want to answer first? So why? Okay, looks like Bahas has. Why does, how would you explain to an unbeliever why? Because there are people that, like, aren't Christians because it doesn't make sense to them that there's a God that loves everyone and is all-powerful and still bad things are happening to both good people and bad people. So how do you, like, explain that to them? We're all going to think for a second. Aduka, did you want to answer? Okay. Oh. Maddie, then Duka.
I think that, like, one of the main only things that we can do is just really pray that the Lord would reveal himself to that person, because unless they're able to see him as beautiful, they're not going to be able to, I guess, like, really view him rightly. So I think the most effective thing is just to, like, pray for that person that they would see Jesus, and then they would be able to move in to be able to see him as someone who, like, loves them in their suffering. And
my name is Dupe. One thing I wanted to say was I think that you cannot understand or experience how good something is until you've experienced bad. I think that when you think about suffering, people do not understand what it feels like to be sick unless they're healthy. They cannot understand what it feels like to be healthy unless they've been sick before. So I think that one thing I like to explain to people who say, oh, how can a good God allow suffering to happen? The problem is not about how good God is. The problem is the fallen nature of man. And since man is already fallen, it's about making sure you realize that if you're anchored to someone who will always be there for you regardless of what you're going through, then you understand, you know, the goodness of God in that suffering. So I think that we should not always try to figure out whether we should not try to. I get the whole, like, let God reveal them, like, God, let God reveal to that person. I think that's important. But I also think practically telling them that if you have never, you know, been sick, you don't understand what good health is. So that's what I have to say.
Hand at the back was up first.
Praise the Lord. I am Walaujo. God sometimes orchestrates suffering to take us through some process. In some cases, we don't want to do things he wants us to do. So he takes us through some paths so that we can learn. Sometimes a process. In the book of Psalm 66, if you open to Psalm 66, the Bible actually tells us, David, in explaining what God was doing, said in Psalm 66, from verse 8, says, "Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from sleeping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." You find David was explaining the fact that suffering sometimes is a process for us to get to a place of abundance. Suffering is a process for us to learn very important lessons of life. Amen.
We'll have the other hand.
I just want to say also, it kind of wraps into what I believe you said about how they can not understand, and our minds are so finite as humans, and the reason that I believe we have suffering in the first place, it comes from the fall, and God is holy, so he cannot be around sin, but he still made a way for us to be with him, and that's where his love comes in. And I think Job is the best example of why bad things, happen to good people. And also, there's that verse in Romans how no one is good, not even one. We've all fallen short, so we cannot truly say that someone is good in comparison to God. And, also, we can't see everything. It's I've heard the analogy of a tapestry and how it's made, and you don't see, you may only be able to see a patch, but the creator sees the whole thing in their mind.
Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us today. Let's give a round of applause to our panelists.
Praise God. Wow, what an informative session, just learning about the goodness of God and what suffering means. I think that what I learned was, there's always a baby. God is always sustaining us. And he's always good to us, regardless of whatever it is that we're going through. We can always trust in that anchor who will protect us and who will provide for us. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Annie, Maddie, Joel, and Ope. And then thank you, Ivy, for moderating the panel. If you guys want to keep having debates like this or discussions like this and you're young adults, you're welcome to join the B Ministry. And we meet on Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. in the Diversity Office in Mayfield Annex. So there's going to be lunch this Sunday, which is so exciting. We're very thankful for those who always cook for us. I just want to use that this opportunity to thank everyone who's always there for us, cooking for us. So thank you if you're in the house. David and Julie's wedding is coming up April 22nd, and I believe that that is next week Sunday, I think. Yes, next week Sunday at 5 p.m. So please contact David if you want to be able to attend the wedding. Our International Sunday is coming up May 6th, which is so exciting. We're doing this really differently, so we want you guys to invite everyone, no matter the color of the skin. Just, we want to have a good time and just allow people from all nations to be able to celebrate God together. Also, I know that Pastor Obi has mentioned that the building MCPC East has been paid off, which is a very big testimony. You know, we understand how mortgage works in America, so being able to pay that off in such a short time, we're just really thankful to God. So International Sunday will also be a time for us to actually celebrate God for that and testify of his goodness. And then MCPC needs new ushers, so if you want to be an usher, please contact Pastor Emmanuel or Cynthia about that. Our second sermon recordings are now available on our website if you want to always listen to sermons if you're not able to attend church or anything like that. Also, Bread of Life is every Wednesday at 7 p.m., so if you're able to make it out maybe after work or school, please try to make it out. It's always very informative, and it's always good to, you know, spiritually grow and develop in God's Word. And as always, we always have our Tabernacle of David praise and worship experience every day other than Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And also, lastly, we always want to thank you for your tithes and offering. It means a lot to Mount Zion, and it means a lot to God, too, that, you know, you care about his house. So you can always give at mzpc.org, or you can give on your way out. And Pastor Romano is going to close us out. Thank you guys for coming today.
Hallelujah.